I appreciate him singing out. I tell you, I don't like mealy mouth stuff, and I appreciate him singing out. That was a blessing, good, and a good song for tonight, because we're gonna talk about the cross tonight, and talk about the Lord. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and if you're visiting with us, you're new to our church, we observe this service four times in a year, and we are commanded to observe it. We're never told in the Bible how often to observe the Lord's Supper. It just says, as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. And so we'll turn our attention tonight for a little bit to Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. If you're able to stand, do so in honor of God's word, even if you don't have a Bible. If you brought one, be sure and turn to 1 Corinthians 11. And beginning at a familiar place, verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Father, we're thankful tonight for the opportunity to take a few moments and observe this wonderful ordinance. And I pray that you would, God, help us tonight to go to the cross in our mind, in our heart, and remember what Jesus did for us there. And if there's someone here tonight who, Lord, has never trusted Jesus as their Savior, I pray that tonight, Lord, the enlightenment might come, that that's what we all need to do. And God, I thank you for your great plan of salvation that's centered around the person of your Son, Jesus, and what he did on the cross. Help me tonight as we talk about it. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. You read down through these verses, and you read words like body and blood and death and so forth and so on. And you think to yourself, my goodness, is that really something that the church should take the time to remember and think on sometime throughout the course of a calendar year? And the answer to that question is yes, because it was in the body of the Lord Jesus that our sin was taken to the cross and judged in that same place. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 24, about Jesus, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And so the Lord Jesus didn't go to the cross to die for himself or for his sin, for his transgression. The Lord Jesus went to the cross to die for our sin and our transgression. And it was on that cross that Jesus was judged for our sin. Now, if you have your Bible, turn back to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 10. This is a wonderful chapter found in the Old Testament book of Isaiah. And it of course, is a messianic prophecy, talking about how that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the promised Messiah that would come to redeem the world, buy it back to God. And when talking about the world, we're not talking about just the planet, the people on the world, the people who live on it. Look at verse number 10, because here's an interesting statement in this verse. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:10, talking about Jesus going to the cross, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And on that cross, Jesus was bruised. This little picture that we see of Jesus with a little bit of blood trickling from this palm, and a little bit of blood from this palm, a little bit of blood from his feet, a little bit of blood on his forehead. That is not the Christ who died on Calvary for us. That is not the picture of what happened there. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. His body was marred so much that Isaiah said in a previous chapter, you couldn't even tell he was a man. And I'll explain why in just a moment. Let's continue reading in verse number 10. He, that means God, hath put him, Jesus, to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Look at this. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The thing I want you to see there is when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Now, the soul of the Lord Jesus Christ was ensconced in his body, just like your soul and my soul is ensconced in our body. And the Lord Jesus bare in his own body our sins to the tree. And the Bible said that there on the tree, God would make his soul an offering, the soul of Jesus Christ, an offering for sin. And one of the reasons that when we read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we read the words death and body and blood is because on that cross, God judged his son. I said this earlier, for our sin. Now, we're not going to turn back to it tonight, but in Leviticus chapters 1 through 7, you can read about five different offerings that the Jews were commanded to make in a calendar year. Now, some of those offerings were to be made every day. Some of those offerings were to be made throughout the calendar year. Three of those offerings dealt with sin. There was what we call the burnt offering, where Jesus Christ, the Bible says that they were to bring a lamb without spot or without blemish, and they were to offer that lamb without spot, without blemish, as a burnt offering for their sin. That was a picture of Jesus Christ offering himself as the spotless, blameless Lamb of God for the sin of the world. The second offering was called a sin offering. At that offering, they were supposed to bring an animal, and that animal was to take the place of themselves as it was offered for their sin. And that offering was a picture of Jesus Christ offering himself in the sinner's place and in the sinner's stead. Jesus did not deserve to die on that cross. He did not deserve to have to offer his body and soul there as an offering for sin. That was where I belong. That was where you belong. The wrath of God that he experienced on that cross should have been poured out on you and me. But he stood in our place. I think the choir sings a song. He stood in our place. It's something like that. And it tells about that right there, that story. How that Christ stood in the place of sinners on the cross. So you got the burnt offering. A picture of Jesus Christ offering himself as the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. I can't die for your sin. You can't die for my sin because we're all in the same boat. It took one who was sinless to offer himself for sinners. And that's what the burnt offering pictures. The sin offering. Christ offering himself in the sinner's place, in the sinner's stead. And then there's what the Bible calls the trespass offering. And the trespass offering was all about the forgiveness, the taking care, atoning for the guilt of man's sin. And that was a picture of Christ offering himself for the guilt of sinners. And on that cross, when Jesus died there, he offered himself, he offered his soul an offering for you and me, taking the guilt that was really, that was my guilt, the guilt that was your guilt. So here you've got these three offerings in the Old Testament, the burnt offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, all of those picturing the single offering that Jesus Christ would make someday on the cross of Calvary, offering himself without spot to God, offering himself in the place of my, in my place, in your place, in the place of sinners, and offering himself for the guilt of the guiltless, dying for the guilty on the cross. And the truth of the matter is that the reason the cross was so violent is because that's where God judged our sin. And that's how rotten, wicked, vile our sin is to God Almighty. That's how much he hates it. You want to know how God feels about sin? Just take a look at the cross. And you'll see there. You'll see that body, as I mentioned just a moment ago, hanging there. Isaiah says, so marred you couldn't even make out that it was a human being. Blood flowing everywhere. You see the violence of that death. You see, in all of these offerings in the Old Testament, in the burnt offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering, those animals that they brought to be sacrificed were all pictures of what Jesus was going to do one day. And I'll tell you something, friend. It wasn't a pretty scene at the tabernacle in the temple when these offerings were made. Blood flowed. Because you've got lamb after lamb after lamb after lamb. Some of these offerings were made both morning and evening. Israelite families bringing the sacrifices over and over and over again. The lamb's blood neck had to be slit. The blood had to flow. The blood had to be placed upon the altar. And then the body had to be taken. And they cut the body open and quartered, like divided the body into separate parts. And the insides were put over here to be washed with the legs. And the head and the rest of the body were to be put over here. And then eventually all of it was to be put on the altar and burnt. We're talking about a violent scene. Seriously. You got blood, you got bleeding of the lamb that's dying. You've got carcasses. You ever smelt burning flesh, even animal flesh? It's a horrible stench. So this was not a pretty place. The tabernacle, the temple, where all these offerings were being made by the priest as the Jewish families would come. It was a stinky, smelly, sticky, bloody, stench-filled place. Sacrifice after sacrifice. And every one of those sacrifices pictured the sacrifice that Jesus would make on the cross. Every one of them. That's why the cross is so violent. All of those offerings, the burnt offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, had dealt with man's sin. And that's exactly what Christ did on the cross. He dealt with man's sin there. He became the spotless, blameless sacrifice for us. He took my place. He took your place. He paid for the guilt that he wasn't responsible for, that you and I were responsible for. And it was a violent, violent scene on the cross that day as Jesus Christ offered himself, his soul ensconced in his body, himself, his life, his blood flowed, his life was dismissed from his body, all of that so that you and I could have our sin debt paid for. The truth of the matter is, friend, we're going to pass the bread in just a little bit that's supposed to remind us of the body of Jesus Christ that bore our sins to the tree that was given for us. And then we're going to pass the juice and the cup, which is supposed to remind us that it was the sinless blood of Christ that was shed to pay the debt that we owed. And taking a piece of bread and eating it and swallowing the crumbs and then washing it down with some juice doesn't bring salvation to anybody. It's what this pictures that brings salvation to you. This pictures the body of Jesus that was offered on the cross of Calvary. This pictures his blood that flowed to pay the sin debt. And you don't get saved by eating a piece of bread or drinking a cup of juice. You get saved by faith, putting your faith in the sacrifice that Christ made for you on the cross of Calvary. That's how a person is saved. It has nothing to do with this as far as taking this bread and juice tonight. This is to remind us of the cost of our salvation. If you're here tonight, you don't know for sure that your sins have been forgiven, that you're on your way to heaven. We can tell you that. We can show you from the Bible, like the lady that came forward this morning, how you can have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but it doesn't come by way of eating a piece of bread or drinking a cup of juice. It comes by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace through faith are you saved. That's it. Now listen, I remember when I was a boy, you talk about indelible impressions. I think I've mentioned this before, but Dad and Mom sang in the church choir, and in that church, during the sermon, the choir members stayed up in the box. And so my brothers and I would sit with our grandmothers. One week we would sit with my mother's mother. The next week we'd sit with my dad's mom. We always enjoyed sitting with my dad's mom because she let us chew gum in church, always. As the service was getting started, she'd reach in and juicy fruit. Right? Juicy fruit. Tear it in half. That was the only bad thing about it. It was torn in half. And, she'd pass it down the road to us and always look forward to that. But it seemed like every time they served the Lord's Supper there, as a little boy, and I was lost. It seemed like every time they served the Lord's Supper there, we were sitting with Meemaw, my mother's mother. And they would pass they'd get into the Lord's Supper like we will just a moment, and they would pass the bread and pass the juice. The pastor might say something like I've said to you tonight about what we're going to do. And they would play the music while the bread and juice were being passed, like we do here. And I would look over, and the pastor would tell us to think on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you put the bread in your hand, that it reminds you of the fact that Jesus took your sin in his own body to that tree. Think on that for a little bit. And when you get that cup of juice in your hand, let that juice remind you that it was the blood of Jesus that was shed that saves you from your sin, the guilt of your sin. And that music would be playing, and I would look over at Meemaw, and she'd be sitting there, and her lips would be moving, and the tears would be slipping down her cheeks. Every time. I never forgot that. Indelible impressions on a little boy's mind and heart. You say, what was she doing? I think she was reminded of how great a price Jesus Christ paid on that cross. With his body and his blood. So that she could be saved. And the songwriter put it in these words, great price of our pardon, his own precious Son. And that's what this pictures tonight. This pictures the Christ who went to the cross, whose soul was made an offering for sin. Sin that God hates. Sin that will not enter heaven. Sin that cannot enter heaven. Sin that can only be forgiven through the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross of Calvary. And He made it for us. And that's why we take these moments and observe this ordinance tonight, so that you and I can be reminded of the great price that Christ paid for our sin. He was blameless. He was sinless. In our stead, in our place, taking the guilt that you and I bore. You know how you wrap that up in one word? L-O-V-E. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Let's bow our heads in prayer together before we get ready to pass the elements and observe the supper. Father in heaven, a little brief tonight, but God, thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross of Calvary for our sin. Thank you for making His soul an offering for you, for us, for our sin. Thank you for the blameless, spotless Lamb that He was and is. Thank you for the fact that He took our place, shouldered our guilt. We are the guilty one, not Him. And that violent scene on that cross is a picture of how badly you hate our sin. And yet, Lord, how wonderful that that offering forgives us of our sin and saves our soul. And we rejoice tonight in the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Christ. And Lord, if there's someone here in the audience tonight who's not sure that they're saved, their eternal destiny uncertain, and God, I pray that you would prick that heart. And Lord, help them to see that they need to be saved by trusting in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and Him alone. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. In just a moment, we're going to ask the ladies to play the song of invitation. The altar is always open if you want to come and just spend a moment here in prayer together, preparing your heart for the Lord's Supper that will follow here in just a moment. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved. Do not make the mistake of believing that eating a piece of this bread or drinking this juice is going to take care of the debt you owe. You have to trust Christ as your Savior. If you've not done that, you can just simply come down to this man in the front down here at Brother Allen and just tell him, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven. I need to be saved. And he can show you, have somebody show you from the Bible, how to trust the sacrifice that Jesus made for you so that you could be saved. Father, bless our time now around this table. I pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You obey the Lord tonight, and if you're not sure that you're saved, would you come? Just tell Brother Allen here, I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know if I'm saved. Why don't you come tonight and trust the Lord Jesus and His sacrifice for your salvation while we wait.